Hey everyone, today on the podcast we're going to talk about live streaming.
And live streaming's been around a while for radio and television, but now pretty much anyone can do it. It doesn't cost a lot of money and you don't have to sit in front of a webcam to do it.
Thanks to new apps like Meerkat, Blab, and Periscope, everyone can live stream and everyone has a smartphone giving them the ability to do so. But just because you have these apps, does it mean you should use them?
Live streaming has just technically got to the point where it works properly. It's like the afterglow of early Skype, where that's essentially live streaming of one person to one person. But now we can do the live streaming of anything. And really, I see it a lot of, again, in business, a lot of companies will be using live streaming to release products, talk to their customers live about something that's happening in their store physically or in their office, and also a lot around thought leadership and people communicating with each other where the audience wants to be involved with it live. So I think that live streaming is something that's obviously been around for a long, long time at a very expensive level on TV with sports and concerts. But now that it's technically available to everyone, is that we will start to see the continuation of what's already been happening, so in entertainment and education. But then we'll start to see new ways of people being able to, at a real time, be able to communicate with a lot of people about something that's happening to them at that time. I saw a really cool one the other day where there was somebody who was with the Syrian people who were having to go across borders, and this person was just holding their phone up, walking with these people, and just doing a live stream of where they were in the wilderness, and there was a helicopter going past. And so that sort of immediacy of seeing what the world is like at any one time is part of that ability. So that's the new wave of what you can do with live streaming, which goes beyond entertainment and education. You then end up with another problem, a good problem to have though, which is you then need to have people who are then the cherry pickers who live have to say this is a stream worth watching, because you end up with 10,000 streams and which one do you watch? But that's a good problem to have, because then you at your fingertips you have access to whatever's happening in the world in real time, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree. It's pretty cool to be able to live stream something unique that's happening. And I think my favorite one I've done was when I was at Fenway and they were singing Sweet Caroline during the seventh inning stretch, because that's not something you can do. They don't show that on TV. You only can experience it if you're there.
Yeah, definitely. I think the power of the apps like Meerkat and Periscope is bringing someone in to an event or from a point of view that they would have never been able to experience. And it really broadens the horizon and sheds lights on some things that need it. For instance, in war zones or like anything large taking place, like the riots that have been happening in Ferguson or anything, you can get like a real in-touch feel without going through news agencies or anything like that. And it's really interesting. As well as on the lighter side, you're a fan of a pro surfer or something like that, and they're meerkatting on a wave or something. That would be really cool too. Just some unique perspective that you yourself cannot be at.
Yeah, and it's also a great way to interact with your audience, with your fans. I've seen musicians do it, and like you said, athletes do it as well. I saw one of the actors of Silicon Valley doing a Periscope on set, and his director's like, "You need to stop. Like Periscoping, we need to start the scene." He's like, "No, I'm almost to 1,000 people. When I get to 1,000, I'll stop it." And he got to 1,000 and then he stopped it. And I'm assuming then they recorded the scene. But it's just that kind of behind the scenes thing you can't get anywhere else. You can interact with your audience in a way that you couldn't before.
Live streaming is all kinds of great for engagement. There's just something special about knowing that something you're watching right now is happening in real time. And you can enhance that experience as the broadcaster by interacting with your live audience. Take advantage of that opportunity as much as possible. The people who are going to do very well at live streams are the people who treat them like broadcasts. The reason you like live broadcasts on TV is not just because it's live, but because it's also extremely well produced. It's actually significantly more difficult to put on a good live broadcast compared to a standalone video that you can edit later. And the wrong way to use live streaming would be to just start streaming because you're bored or because it feels like a novelty. That's like posting pictures of your food on Twitter. It's just something we joke about now. If you want to experience success with live streaming, treat it like a legitimate live broadcast. Spend some time preparing ahead of time. Set up your scene, pay attention to lighting, connect a good microphone, have a presentation and a topic prepared. Practice reading live comments and bringing them into the show in a way that feels natural. My advice would be to take live streaming very seriously. If you're a celebrity, yeah, you can just start live streaming and do and talk about whatever you want and not care about quality or message because you're a celebrity. Otherwise, understand that it has an impact on your brand and how people perceive you. So if you want it to work well for you, take it seriously. I personally use live streaming as an incentive for people to join my community membership site. We stream a live multi-DSLR camera video production to the members of our community, and we interact with them in the chat. So we have a questions feature within the chat that allows us to pull out related questions and answer them in order of how many people starred them. So this gives our more dedicated viewers an opportunity to interact with us directly and get their questions answered on the show. And occasionally we'll do like a live stream from an event or a meetup that we're putting on using something like Periscope. That way we can give the people at home who couldn't make it some sense of interaction. But the main thing is going into it with a sense of purpose and a mindfulness of the quality and experience your viewers are having.
Is it possible that all of this is just hype though? That in a couple months or year, it's going to be just background noise, that apps like Meerkat and Periscope and Blab aren't really as useful as we think they are?
I think it is probably, my gut is that it's a little overhyped right now. In the same way that Vine or, you know, services that were like short little video clips, those were overhyped as well. And they kind of settled in and they're still around, but also that type of, video just gets embedded now into other platforms. You know, it's not as if you have to go to Vine because you can just watch short form videos on Instagram or whatever. So I think that we might see, Periscope like functions embedded into other platforms. I don't know which yet. But I also feel like, you know, there's this shiny new object syndrome in social media and in video. And it seems like those are fun tools. And there are a few people who are doing it pretty well. But there are just a whole lot of people who are doing it for the novelty of it. And it's really hard to build a consistent following to tune into something like that, especially just because, you know, everybody's so used to being able to consume things when they have time for it, you know, to kind of batch things and look at them later, and to get people to tune in all at the same time is a challenge. And I just think that, you know, producing videos that get to live out there forever, like YouTube, you spend a similar amount of time building it and yet it gets to live there forever, versus a one-time, you know, Periscope, Meerkat sort of event.
I can see what he's getting at there, and there's a reason for it. A lot of other platforms have followed that same kind of path where they're really popular and then they're really not. But maybe live streaming is different?
Yeah, I think that live streaming can be a great tool for business. And I like the idea of immediate user feedback and the connection that it allows between the streamer and the viewer. But I do think that live streaming in business is potentially overhyped. I think it's going to fade away, and I just don't think it matters very much in the long run. The best that live streaming is going to be in my mind isn't going to be in business, but it's going to be used to illuminate current events, good or bad, to bring everyone to the event to share that unique perspective.
And really, there's so many different platforms being used to share video these days. I would say there are close to 10 popular platforms that you could put your video on. And it's hard for me to say that you should place a lot of your time and attention into live streaming or, you know, going all in on live streaming yet. But you could still experiment with it if your audience is on it and if you're in the right generation even.
Oh, man. It makes me feel really old and like an old person who doesn't understand it necessarily. I hope that there's a way to record it and play back later with all of these options in a more economical way. But I think it's definitely starting to take off in a big way.
And after talking with Caleb Pike about that, Periscope actually did just roll out the ability to scrub through the replays on mobile devices and it allows you to go back to one that's really long and you didn't quite finish, or skip ahead when someone's boring you.
I hear this a lot. A lot of people want better playback, but in my mind, isn't creating that better playback just hurting the app itself? It's hurting the need to tune in to the live feed. It seems like if you're encouraging your users to treat the platform like YouTube or Vimeo or any other platform where you can just host an event and then play it back at any other date, you're kind of making what you created pointless. I mean, why do I need to tune in, watch a live event when I can just go and watch it later? Unless you're really hoping that you're going to be the one person out of however many thousands that the streamer is going to choose to interact with. Like, what's the point for me?
I mean, that's really the only point, other than there's some FOMO of you don't want to miss being on the live stream. You don't know what's going to happen, getting the information first. And live feeds do have something that a YouTube recorded video doesn't, which is that live interaction with the presenter. If you're one of the first people in the feed, because it limits how many people can be in the chat. And it might be one of the best ways to make sure you're creating something that's valuable, to see if people are clicking the hearts on the screen or if they're leaving and going somewhere else. You can tell your engagement through the screen. You can see how many people are staying, how many people are interacting and commenting, which you can't really get in a YouTube video. And you can help yourself on these live streams by actually having a plan for what you want to stream.
One of the biggest mistakes I see people making when it comes to this live stuff, because it is becoming so popular right now, is they just press the record button and they just go. And that's okay. It's good to ship. It's good to just press record and go. But you also want to have some sort of purpose behind it as well. And, you know, one of my biggest pet peeves is when I stumble upon these random periscopes, which I often do. I often, quote, go around the world to see what's happening, and I view other people's periscopes and I just watch to learn from them, especially people who have a lot of people who are watching them, just to see if I could pick up anything. And sometimes those people are just kind of sitting there and they're not doing anything. They're not helping out. They're not providing value. So I think the most important thing when you're doing something to always provide value and always keep people's attention. When you start to pause, when you start to focus on other things, when you get off on tangents, when you just start talking about something that people aren't interested in, they're going to leave. And, you know, there are exceptions to the rule. And I know that a lot of the people I've stumbled upon on Periscope who have large amounts of viewers who aren't doing anything but still have large amounts of viewers, they're mostly celebrities and people just want to know what's going on in their lives. But if you really want to deliver value and get some output from it, if you want to see results from the scopes that you do or the meerkats that you do or the blabs that you do, and they do take a lot of time. So you do want to make sure you get something out of it. You want to make sure you deliver value and you're building a relationship with your audience at the same time. And the way you do that is to make sure you interact. Now, it could be difficult, especially if you have a lot of people who are watching you, to interact with everybody. And I wouldn't recommend trying to interact with everybody. What it is your audience becomes sort of like a person, like a single person. Even though there might be a lot of people in your audience, you have to kind of see them as one single person, and you're having this conversation with them. And when you call out somebody's name, for example, you are actually calling that person's name out and sort of as a representation of the whole audience. So even though you might not be interacting specifically with one person, even though you're not interacting with most of the people, because you're interacting with some, you're actually interacting with everybody. That's kind of what I was going toward. So make sure you interact, and it's not just like calling out people by name or saying, hey, what are you guys up to? Like actually and asking questions and getting feedback and allowing them to give you some direction in terms of what to do or what to look at or direction to take in your scope and things like that. Those things, when you empower your audience, they begin to you begin to empower them, and they begin to, it just becomes this great positive feedback loop where everything great happens when you allow your audience a little bit of say in what it is that you're up to. And plus, you know, that interaction, they feel like they're a part of your brand and whatever it is that you're up to. Other things that I recommend that you do on live streams is just to make sure you're trying to be entertaining as well. It doesn't mean you have to force it. It doesn't mean you have to pretend to be a comic or anything like that. But just, again, be yourself, but also, you know, show your surroundings around you. I think that's another big thing that people are missing out on. Live streaming has been around for a while, but it was always desktop live streaming. There was blog TV and all these other things that were around where, you know, you had those webcams that looked like balls, like a ball with an eye in it, and they were just on everybody's desktop and we could see in everybody's room, but it was always the same view and it wasn't that interesting what was behind us. But now with the mobile devices, we get to take people to different locations around the world. And so you want to show those things off. So don't be afraid to get out of selfie mode and actually show your surroundings and give people a tour of what you're doing and where you're at. Give people a behind the scenes look at the things that you're up to and the things that you're doing. Cause so that's what's going to make people feel special about that moment with you. Those are the things that people are going to remember. They know what your face looks like, but they're going to see and see the location around you and remember what it is that you're talking about because of that location. We're a very visual type of species, right? We remember things that we see more so than anything. So show your location, give a tour, show behind the scenes, makes people feel special, and it helps people remember everything that you're saying.
I really like what Pat was saying, and I like how he thinks it's so important to interact with his audience and show them around. That's great. I think everyone agrees that live streaming is something you should be doing, and it is valuable for your business or for anything else that you could be doing, like cultivating an audience or getting comfortable on camera. But I do tend to think along the same lines that Corbett mentioned early in the episode, where I think although it is nice and it is important, it is a little overhyped at the moment.
Yeah, I kind of have to agree with you there. I think that you're going to get more long-term out of producing traditional videos, and live streaming is good for a lot of things. It's good for, number one, getting comfortable in front of the camera a little bit more because it's less intimidating to just turn on your phone and start broadcasting. It's really good for, number two, interacting with people in your audience. Even if there's only five people on there that are in your audience, you're still making time for them in almost a one-on-one relationship kind of way. Number three, you can get feedback on ideas. I've gone on Periscopes just to talk about an idea I have and get feedback and answers from people. Number four, you can test headlines or ideas for other things you want to make, chapters of a book, other more traditional videos or podcasts you want to do, see if people actually resonate with them, click on and join live. If no one does, then maybe don't spend the additional time to make a full-length thing. And five, I think it's good for unique experiences, live events, natural disasters, other things that maybe news isn't covering as well. I think that it's a really interesting way to see into that. But I don't know if I would put a ton of effort into growing an audience on one of these platforms, but I might be 100% wrong.
Yeah, I really like the fifth point that you made, that sharing a unique experience. I think that is far and away the best place for live streaming. It allows you to do things that have never been happened before. It's kind of exactly what Twitter did for news in the print, but now we can do it for news in the video, which is so much more powerful because it's like being on the ground wherever that event is unfolding, whether it's positive or negative. It's really valuable to be there in real time. As far as business goes, I understand that it's powerful because you can interact with your customer base, and I can understand wanting to take advantage of that and use it because it is a great business tool. But I really believe that live streaming is best for unique experiences.
I agree. So that wraps up this episode, episode 52 of DIY Video Guy. You can check out show notes at diyvideoguy.com/52. If you're not familiar with Periscope or Meerkat or Blab or even using YouTube Live, try one of them out. Pick the one that's the least intimidating to you and put something out there. You automatically get people on there just based on a funny headline sometimes. So just say, like, just me and a jar of peanut butter. I'm sure you would get like 20 people with that.
I don't know. That'd be a little weird. I would not click on some random dude's feed that said me and a jar of peanut butter.
Okay, then don't use that. Maybe my cat is stuck. ...
Cattle always guaranteed 20 hits.
Guaranteed. All right, thanks for listening to this episode. See you in another one.